What separates true investors from mere gamblers? Benjamin Graham, the father of value investing, draws a clear line. Investing requires thorough analysis, safety of principle, and adequate return. Everything else is speculation. This distinction isn't just academic, it's the cornerstone of building lasting wealth. The greatest irony in markets is how these terms get twisted over time. During the Great Depression, when stocks were genuinely cheap, they were considered gambles. Yet by the late 1960s, after prices had skyrocketed, these same securities were labeled investments, despite carrying far greater risk. Why do we repeatedly fall into this trap? Because the investor's chief problem, and even his worst enemy, is likely to be himself. Our psychology betrays us, pushing us to follow crowds rather than maintain independent judgment. Consider the dot-com bubble, when investors poured money into companies with no earnings and flimsy business models. Even brilliant minds aren't immune. Isaac Newton lost the equivalent of $3 million in today's money after getting swept up in market enthusiasm for the South Sea Company. The solution isn't extraordinary intelligence, but emotional discipline. As Warren Buffett later distilled from Graham's teaching, be fearful when others are greedy, and greedy when others are fearful. This contrarian stance feels unnatural, but protects us from our worst impulses. Develop an investment policy suited to your circumstances and temperament, then stick with it regardless of market conditions. Graham presents a defensive investment approach for those who prefer minimal effort and risk while achieving satisfactory returns. The foundation is maintaining a balanced portfolio of 25-75% in stocks, defaulting to 50-50. This provides stability, income, inflation protection, and rebalancing opportunities. For stocks, follow four key rules. Diversify across 10 to 30 companies. Choose large, financially conservative businesses, select companies with consistent dividend histories, and limit price to 25 times average earnings over 7 years. For bonds, focus on high-grade corporate bonds, municipal bonds, U.S. savings bonds, or treasury securities, choosing between taxable and tax-free based on your tax bracket. Implement dollar-cost averaging by investing fixed amounts regularly regardless of market conditions. This prevents emotional buying at peaks and selling during downturns. This approach's effectiveness is proven. A simple index fund portfolio following these guidelines has consistently outperformed most actively managed funds by avoiding the timing and selection mistakes common to aggressive investing. For investors willing to dedicate significant time to research, Graham presents an enterprising approach to achieve above-average returns. This strategy requires specialized knowledge and emotional discipline comparable to running a business. Building on the defensive investor's foundation, Graham recommends three key approaches. First, target relatively unpopular large companies experiencing temporary setbacks. Graham's research showed that buying the Dow's cheapest stocks outperformed the index in 25 of 34 test periods, as large companies typically have resources to recover while market sentiment eventually improves. Second, seek genuine bargains, companies selling well below intrinsic value, particularly those trading below net working capital after debt. A study of 85 such stocks demonstrated 75% two-year gains versus 50% for the S&P Industrials. Third, investigate special situations like reorganizations, mergers, and spin-offs where securities become temporarily mispriced due to institutional constraints. Avoid market timing, popular growth stocks, and the risky middle ground between defensive and enterprising strategies. As Graham notes, the investor cannot hope for both unusually good performance and freedom from investment cares. Graham depicts the stock market as Mr. Market, an emotional partner who swings between euphoria and depression, offering to buy or sell shares at wildly different prices. The intelligent investor uses these mood swings opportunistically rather than being controlled by them. The key is buying when prices fall well below value and considering sales when they rise too high. A&P illustrates this perfectly. In 1938, its shares traded at $36, below its net current assets of $134 million, before tripling by 1939. Yet by 1961, it traded at 30 times earnings, only to crash and post its first deficit in 1972. Market fluctuations are natural. Most stocks will vary 50% above their lows and drop one-third from their highs over five-year spans. Understanding this helps investors see volatility as an opportunity, not a threat. The margin of safety, the buffer between an investment's price and its value, is investing's most crucial principle. Like a bridge built to withstand more weight than expected, investments need a safety margin to protect against uncertainties. For bonds, this means requiring company earnings to cover interest payments multiple times over. For stocks, it means buying significantly below intrinsic value. While not guaranteeing against individual losses, this approach improves overall portfolio performance. This explains Graham's emphasis on price discipline. Great companies become poor investments if overpriced, while mediocre businesses can excel if bought cheaply enough. The dot-com bubble illustrates this perfectly. In 1999, Yahoo traded at 3,264 times earnings with a $114 billion valuation, while Yum, KFC, Pizza Hut, Taco Bell earned 17 times Yahoo's revenue but was valued at just $5.9 billion. From 2000 to 2002, Yum gained 25.4% while Yahoo lost 92.4%. The margin of safety serves dual purposes: intellectually acknowledging investment uncertainty, and emotionally providing confidence during market downturns, knowing investments were purchased with a substantial cushion. While shareholders technically own public companies, they often act passively, creating tension between owners and management. This raises two key questions: is management reasonably efficient? And are outside shareholders' interests protected? The first can be assessed through profitability comparisons, the second through dividend policies, capital allocation, and executive compensation. Graham emphasized dividend policies. Traditional strong companies paid 60 to 75% of profits as dividends, but by the 1970s, many minimized dividends, claiming reinvestment would create more value. Graham criticized this, especially for underperforming companies. Research supports his view. Companies paying higher dividends typically show better future earnings growth, averaging 3.9 percentage points higher. Stock buybacks, while theoretically beneficial, often occur at inflated prices or mainly offset executive stock option dilution. For example, Oracle spent $5.3 billion buying back shares at $18.26 that insiders received at $3.53. Excessive executive compensation, particularly when unrelated to performance, is another red flag. Graham would likely object to today's CEO packages worth hundreds of millions, regardless of results. Graham's insights remain relevant despite massive technological changes since his 1973 revision. The fundamental challenges investors face – emotional control, avoiding speculation, finding value, and maintaining discipline – persist unchanged. His core principles of margin of safety, diversification, and distinguishing investment from speculation anticipated modern investment theory. His prescient views on active shareholding and growth stock skepticism were validated by subsequent market developments. While today's investors can apply Graham's wisdom through new tools like index funds and ETFs, his fundamental approach endures: thorough analysis, emotional discipline, and margin of safety. As he noted, investment is most intelligent when it is most businesslike, treating the market as a venue for purchasing business ownership at reasonable prices.